Welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast here. MWC Connection is the website. So if you're finding us now, we appreciate it. Thanks for listening. And Facebook, Mountain West Connection, all the Twitter stuff, MWC Connection. If you follow us there, you get some random stuff and some arguments from certain fan bases across the conference. I'm Jeremy Moss. I think that snicker was Chris Andres. Is that correct?
Oh, that was Matt.
Oh, hey, Matt Ketterly. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Doing well. It's March Madness.
He's lying. He is not doing all right.
I am great.
Hey, I think with the matchup we have, me and Matt need to do some sort of wager. That should be appropriate for the first round matchup, Utah versus Fresno State. Maybe we'll think of something.
Are we doing it straight up or against the spread?
I'll take the spread.
Okay, so will I. All right, let's do this.
He's got a little bit of confidence in him.
No, we'll get to the games first, but we'll get to it. before we go forward to tournament stuff, because the selection show ended about 10 minutes ago, I think, for my watch. So let's rewind. Go back a little bit to the conference tournament. Chris, I know you, apart all three of us, are upset we could not be there because the whole tournament was pretty much exciting for, what, every game but like one or two.
Yeah, I think it was. It was pretty much. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely, every single game was exciting, except for the UNLV blowout
or the Utah State blowout too. That's about it.
But I was really upset that I couldn't be at the tournament this weekend. But hey, you know what? I live in the San Diego area, and so a whole bunch of smugness became less smug.
Did you like on Twitter, somebody put out, I know our good guy, Ron Caron keeps getting BS crap because he wrote the article at the time, which was very relevant. Could New Mexico be better than San Diego State when they lost in overtime on a controversial call that went to overtime? So he wrote an article. It's possible. And it wasn't out of the question, a little out there, but not too much. He's still getting crap. But then I see questions on Twitter. Aztec fans, what would you prefer, top seed in NIT or NCAA one and done? It's like, I think everybody would raise their hand, say, like, especially you, Matt, second time Fresno's been there in like a decade, NCAA tournament over anything else, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the deal is. It's like, come on. And then they didn't even get a one seed. It's ridiculous. So let's go to the tournament. Let's just skip on to the final. It was San Diego State, Fresno State, because we're not going to spend too much time on the tournament. San Diego State, they didn't struggle, but Utah State gave them a better battle than people thought. When they got to the final game, had a little bit more of a challenge. But so, Matt, what was like your feeling throughout the title game? Like, because it was close throughout. There's no team had a big lead either way, one or the other.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of surprising because if you go back and look at the numbers, it was one of the rare times in recent memory where Fresno State was actually hitting a lot of shots from 3 points from – you know, behind the arc. And I think that was, you know, all things considered, that was probably the difference, those shots that they were hitting in the first half, because when you look at the box score and San Diego State, for as much grief as we give them for being kind of a questionable shooting team, they actually outshot the Bulldogs on the day. So being able to make up that difference by, you know, not only attempting more three-pointers, but making more three-pointers than they've averaged on the year was, you know, kind of a big difference.
Yeah, that's what I saw too. I think at one point they had like, it was what, 10-3 or something, 3 points, something like that. Like, they ended up missing a lot at the end, but I think, didn't they have like 10 in the first half? Something like that?
Something like that. Yeah, I don't have the exact front of me. All I know is it was 10 of 24 overall, which is, you know, that's a significant, you know, that's significantly higher than they have been on average on the season, and significantly more than they were doing in most games, you know, down the stretch.
That's what I saw. So what about you, Chris? What do you think kind of about at least the kind of that type aspect of the game, shooting wise, or anything particular that you enjoyed on either side of this matchup?
One thing I thoroughly enjoyed was actually the defense. I mean, we've all talked about how stout San Diego State's defense has been all year long. I was surprised about how stout Fresno State's defense was in this game. Cariachi Edo, Carter II. I mean, both those guys were doing work up in the lanes, and San Diego State, the only way they were actually being super effective was those second chance points that that they couldn't get on the first time. And that's the way San Diego State typically kills people. But seemingly Fresno State had enough in them to get beyond those second chance points.
Yeah, they did a 13-9 offensive rebounds at San Diego State.
Crazy fluke threes.
I did like that putback dunk. Who was it that had that for Aztecs in second half? Miss guy comes up. Was it Malik Pope who actually showed up for a big game? Was he the one that threw that down?
Yeah, Pope had 19 points on the night.
Yeah, where the heck was he all year? He's like people are complaining throughout. Which
2 years. Hey, this guy was supposed to be NBA draft last year, right?
Yeah, that's what people are saying. He averaged, after this game, 7 points per game. I know some Aztecs fans, they are ticked. Like, where has this been all year? Why is he not beginning the ball tomorrow? Shoot more often, do more. 19 points, 11 rebounds. Jeez.
Four.
And then Skylar Spencer, one of one. What's up with that?
Well, I mean, if you look at the box score, what's the number that stands out to me is, you know, Jeremy Helmsley. You know, that's your sixth man of the year, right?
4 points.
1 of 9 from the floor in 16 minutes. You know, if he shoots as well as he does on average, you know, the Aztecs probably win the game. You know, he had a game to forget. You know, he'll have plenty of chances to atone going forward, but you know, that's a game that's probably going to stick with him for a long time.
Well, here's the interesting too. Like, he averaged like 16 points in league play. His last four games, I just pulled this up: 7 in the finale, 7 in the tournament. He only scored 15 points in the tournament in 3 games, and he averaged almost 16 or 17 in the conference play, somewhere close to that range. And yeah, he went, even if you go back further, like since they played San Jose State his first game back, because he didn't play with Air Force, 13 13 11 10, then the 7 7 4 and 4. So I don't know if it's a freshman deal where he's just getting tired. In the past 10 games he's just been kind of out of it or something. I don't think he's hurt, but yeah, his past handful of games have been, I think that's a big reason why Utah State was close. Nevada was reasonably close when he's getting a third of his points and playing like he's played. He averages, was it 28 minutes a game? And he played less than 20 in four of the last 5 games.
Yeah. I mean, if you take away that, you know, what he was shooting in that game, the 1 for 9, and I think, you know, San Diego State as a team shot like 42%, you know, you take that 1 of 9 away, they're a lot closer to 50% for the game. And, you know, that's the difference right there. One guy not shooting as well as you might have hoped, is that's all it takes.
Yeah. And this, what about Chris, what do you think about the end of the game where it's like how close it was and Aztecs weren't able to get anything done like the last minute or two?
Yeah. It was surprising. Especially since, you know, that whole effect that San Diego State, the last 5 minutes has always been able to close out games. And no, they weren't leading the last 5 minutes of a game. That streak was broken by Boise State previously. But I think you would have expected some more clutchness from San Diego State to get out there and, you know, score. But hey, whatever happens didn't happen. And so as a result, it was Fresno State's clutchness, Marvell Harris and Paul Watson specifically, Who got those scores in, and that was the difference.
Here's some interesting right now. That was difference. Like Fresno's defense, it's not quite to the Aztecs, but it's more aggressive. Like I've watched a little bit here and there, so I made sure to focus in on the tournament and some of this game. I was able to see they're similar to the Aztecs, not quite there. But if you look at the last 2:42 of the game, I'm just going through like the play by play. I believe, if I'm correct, your Aztecs had 2 shots in the last 2 minutes and 42 seconds. They had a Malik Pope. He missed a jumper when they're 62-61. When they were, let's see, yeah, they're up by one. He missed that shot. And then you had a Hemsley miss. And that's only 2 shots outside of a pair of free throws within 1 of 2. So 2 shots and 2:42. How does that happen?
Yeah. And I'm looking at another stretch in the second half where the Aztecs might have had a chance to really, you know, put, you know, Fresno under the knife. You know, they were up 6 points with 12:50 to go, and they went like almost four, they went like at least 3.5 minutes without scoring. And in that time, you know, Fresno State was able to claw their way even at 52. So yeah, it was, you know, maybe it wasn't, you know, an entire game stretch where they were shooting poorly, but there were a couple of really critical points at which they just, they weren't hitting the shots that they wanted.
Yeah, they got it done. They made the two free throws at the end. Julian Lewis, that pretty much sealed the game. They're up by 5. Basically, the Hemsley jumper.
Here's the other number that stood out to me. San Diego State and all their glorious defense, right? And I mentioned that Fresno State's defense was equally as good. How's this? 11 steals. 11 steals for Fresno State compared to 6 for San Diego State.
That's a big deal there.
I would say that probably those last 4 steals came within the last 5 minutes of the game.
Well, I mean, Fresno State's made their bones, especially late in the year, on forcing a lot of turnovers. They did, you know, they did the same thing to UNLV and Colorado State. They've been winning the turnover battle consistently late in the year, which has allowed them to, you know, remain in games even when their shots haven't always been falling.
All right, so yeah, that stalemate's a huge deal. I didn't realize it's that big of a difference there. And then you look at turnovers again. With that, it was 12-15 plus 3 for Fresno State. So everything didn't go right for Fresno State. We'll get to the game versus Utah in a minute, but Marvell Harris, while he made 4 of 9 3-pointers, he shot a reasonably good 7-19. Only a Fresno State player in double figures with 18 points. So this is really a team effort to have. He went to the line 0 times. You got Lewis with 5 of 6, Guerrero 3 of 3. They missed only 2 free throws in the game. Mm-hmm. Well, Harris was a 3-point guy there. Everybody else is getting it done. Like said, Russo, pair of steals. You got the 3 total blocks. This was overall just everybody doing what they're supposed to do and Harris doing just enough to score enough points, because we know he could score 35 points on a lot of teams. This team, not going to happen. But and if you'd told me Harris scores 18 points, I would say Aztecs would win this game. But end up they don't. He only gets 18.
No, but yeah, at the same time, he scored 18 points. But look, everybody, and you're absolutely right, team effort behind him. Julian Lewis, 8 points with that clutch. And he had a clutch 3. Paul Watson, 8 points. He had a clutch 3 as well. Karachi Edo went to the line multiple times, shot those free throws. Jamal Taylor, 6 points. Cesar Guerrero, 8. Colin Russo, 7. And Colin Russo was the guy who I thought was going to be the X factor in the beginning of the game, because he was the one who was basically making all the plays the first 10 minutes of the game for Fresno State, keeping them in there when San Diego State jumped out to like a 7-0 lead.
They did. All right, so that's the title game recap. You'll hear some more from our good friend Ian Nicole. She was down there for a tournament. We'll do some time recording restraints. We'll be dropping her in a little 15-minute recap on her end later in the show. But let's get to the seeding, because we're going to not go too long tonight. Fresno is a 14 seed in Denver, taking on 3rd seed University of Utah, Pac-12 runner-up, and runner-up in the tournament, losing to Oregon.
Was not the loss.
Come on. Give me a loss.
That Pac-12 tournament? Oh, my goodness. What was the score? Like 96-66 or something like that?
88-57.
They were that close.
Just that.
Dude, I'm not. Whatever.
is this possibly the most overrated preseed?
No, I'm not going to give excuses, but here's part of the reason why. Utah's semifinal game was pushed back to overtime, which Oregon beat Arizona, which it's already started like at 9 p.m. Pacific tip anyways, almost 9:30. Their game goes to overtime, ends like at 1 a.m. local time. Then they play Saturday early evening. That's not an excuse, but that played a part of it, why they're so tired. But Oregon just has their number. I think they lost all 3 games Oregon this year, if I'm correct on that. So it was a terrible loss. But no, Utah lost all 3 games to Oregon by closest was 10 points at home for Utah. It was a beatdown. So it's a 9.5-point favorite. So I know we haven't dived a ton into this game, but Matt, what's your first kind of look at Utah really quick?
You know, I haven't had that much time to look into Utah, but I think all things considered, I feel okay about the matchup. You know, when you go back and look at some of the matchups they were projecting after they won on on Saturday, you know, they were projecting, you know, a game against Kentucky in Providence or a game against Miami, like in, I think that one might have been in Providence too. You know, you're talking
Duke
about
somewhere.
Yeah, that Duke was another one. You know, you're talking about having to go across the country, you know, into fairly hostile and friendly, you know, fairly friendly territory for whoever they're going to play against. So the fact that they end up, you know, in Denver, it's a pretty, you know, that's a kind of a win in and of itself, if you ask me. You know, you were telling us before the show that, you know, as a higher seed, Utah's going to benefit from a somewhat friendly crowd. But it's not like it's outside the realm of possibility that a bunch of Bulldogs fans are going to show up and they're going to make some noise and, you know, make it, you know, not so much of a hotly contested road game. So
yeah, because it's 8-hour drive. It's not even that close. It's like seven. If you want to drive, it's 7 hours from Salt Lake to Denver.
Yeah.
And so I mean, it's not a quick ride.
And looking at the other three seeds that came, you know, into the bracket, Miami and West Virginia and Texas A&M, I think all things considered, you know, given how athletic the Bulldogs are, I think Utah might be the best matchup for them.
Have you seen Utah at all this year, Chris, besides the Oregon beatdown?
Very little.
Okay, well, we do know the Pac-12 is deep.
I will say, outside of the fact that I'm a little surprised that Fresno State was a 14 seed, and I understand why. You're talking, this is possibly the most likely of 14-3 upsets here.
Okay? You think so?
Miami, Florida versus Buffalo. Oh, my goodness. Miami's going to wipe the floor with them.
Miami wiped Utah.
Texas A&M, Green Bay,
and
no chance. West Virginia, Stephen F. Austin's.
Yeah, I could see that, maybe.
Lumberjacks will make it interesting for like the first 10 minutes. But this is a more even matchup than what you think. In terms of underdogs to higher seeds. I mean, I put this more as a, like a 5-12 or a 6-11 rather than a 3-14. I don't think the barrier is that much more.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting that, you know, in spite of the fact that Utah's got their All-American 7-footer, you know, if you're looking at, you know, national rankings, the Bulldogs actually out-rebounded the Utes as a team. You know, granted, the difference is not all that much. They may as well be fairly even, but I just thought it was interesting. You know, it's 37.6 to 37.4. You know, they aren't all that much different in points per game. Utah was averaging 77. Bulldogs are averaging 75. And, you know, they're fairly even, all things considered. I think in spite of the winning streak, I think what's most important is that even when the Bulldogs have gotten down, they've never been out. You know, I think about that last road game
the Arizona game early in the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think about that last road game that they had in against Utah State in the regular season finale. You know, they were down by 18 in the first half of that game, and they managed to claw their way back. So I think the takeaway from that is that, you know, this isn't a team that's going to quit even if Utah gets ahead early. You know, obviously Utah's a team that has a lot of they might have a little bit of a talent advantage, but, you know, Fresno State's going to give them a fight no matter what.
They will. Like, I've seen Utah enough. Outside of Jakob Poeltl, he's the guy, like I said, rebounding. He's at 9 a game. It's kind of a mixed bag after that. Like, they have this guy Kyle Kuzma. He's next. He scores 10 points, 11 and 6 guy. If he's on, Utah's really good. Like with the Utes, Poeltl is the guy. He'll be a lottery pick, probably a top 10, top 5 pick. He'll get pretty much whatever he wants for the game. But they need other guys like Jordan Loveridge is not always consistent, the second leading scorer. Brandon Taylor, another player who's good, but he can have his up or down games. And we saw San Diego State, Utah beat them by 5 early in the year. This could be a similar type of game. Where, like Matt said, they're all even across the board, essentially. We know the Pac-12, talent-wise, overall, much better conference. But with Fresno's defense, is better than people are giving them credit for. And with a guy like Harris, like you said, if he could score points. If he goes off, I wouldn't be overly shocked. I'm not going to pick Fresno to win. But I wouldn't be like, even though I'm a Utah alum, I want Utah to win. I think they will win. But seeing Fresno play and what Harris can do, he could score 35 points and they could win this by a couple points. And I wouldn't be overly surprised by that outcome one bit.
Yeah, I mean, if you're asking me, I think the way that Fresno State makes it a game is, you know, pretty much the same formula as a lot of the other games lately is, you know, they avoid the temptation to shoot a lot of three pointers because they aren't a great three point shooting team. You know, I was doing another podcast earlier. I had to look up what they were shooting on the season. They're shooting 34.2%, which is tied for 196th nationally. And they've really only hit that mark in like seven of the last 13 games that they played since the beginning of February. It's going to come down to, I think, how well the forwards play, not only Colin Russo, but Karachi Edo. You know, those guys are going to have to step up. They're going to have to figure out how to, you know, attack the rim, I think, and really challenge Utah on the interior.
And whatever kind of defense they were putting on San Diego State, because San Diego State wasn't shooting great, but Fresno State had an excellent defense. If they can put that same kind of defense on Utah, I think the Utes are going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I agree. Utah only shoots 36% from three-point range, and Porter will take everything down low, but I think it's possible. So, Matt, who are you taking to win? It's a 9.5-point spread. Do you have any – what are you kind of leaning toward this? It's changed to 9 points since then.
See, I feel like if I say Fresno State's going to win, everybody's going to say I'm a homer. But you know what? They haven't.
There's no homer picks at this point. Yeah, this isn't like we're playing in conference play or anything like that.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm doing it.
You know what? I picked Fresno State to go to the Sweet 16. So I'm.
Oh, hey.
It's my stupid upset pick of the tournament. Let's call it that.
Perfect.
Once again, entirely all possible because I'm not sure how good Seton Hall is, and I've seen Gonzaga play live from the West Coast Conference tournament.
Up and down.
And exactly, they're decent, but I definitely think that Fresno State could get past either one of those teams. Utah's the biggie here. I'm with you. I think Fresno State will beat. I'm not sure making it to the Sweet 16, but I think Fresno State can at least beat Utah that first one.
Interesting. I'm going with Utah. They'll get it done. I think they went to Sweet 16 last year, remember this? So they've been there before with most of these guys. Their head coach, Larry Kraskowiak, has been here before. He's done good stuff for Montana years past, been in the NBA. So I'm thinking Utah's going to win, but it's going to be – this is a game. It's a good time slot as well. We didn't mention the time. It's what – 7:25 Eastern, 4:25 Pacific on True TV. So I got a good afternoon primetime evening slot, not the 10 a.m. whatever game they'd give some teams. So it's Thursday as well. So if we didn't mention that, but it's going to be close. I'm going to go with Utah because it's a 3 vs. 14. So I'm like, I'm going to go that route. But I think it is an easy pick, but I think people could be overlooking this game because Utah's did pretty well in the Pac-12. Pac-12 is probably, I think, I don't have the Ken Palm or RPI, but their top three conference this year. I think 10 of their 12 teams were top 100. But I think Fresno will make this extremely close and much more uncomfortable than Utah fans or Utah would want it to be. So I'm going to pick Utah, but I think it'll be within that 8-point spread. I think it'll be like a 5-point game or something.
That's a fair argument.
Yeah. There you go.
Madness!
Yes, let's see if we have some madness. And all right, so me and Chris will chat about several things. So we'll let you go, Matt, and join our bracket pool, everybody at Yahoo. Check that out. And yeah, so Matt, thank you for joining us, and we'll say go Bulldogs.
Thank you. I will be skipping out on my work meeting to go watch that game.
Perfect, man. That's what you do, man. You got to be dedicated.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent, man. All right, well, good luck Thursday, and we'll see what happens next week, okay, man?
All right, thanks, man.
All right, now let's move on to the NIT and non-NCAA tournament portion of the bracket. I still got this question, Tulsa's pick to the big dance, because that was pretty weird. Yeah, but silly. That was, most people were scratching their head there. Aztecs, I thought there could be a small chance they get in because Lunardi and like Jerry Palm and guys were saying it could be close, but they're in the NIT, which is not where they want to be, but with the league being down. And I saw stuff from Union Tribune, like, oh, it's the league's conference, it's the league's fault. Like, well, It is, but win your games, first of all. That's the most important thing, right?
Yeah, losing to San Diego, losing to Grand Canyon, losing to Arkansas Little Rock did not help your cause. And unfortunately, that's what the committee looked at.
That's true, because this year, it's like, we'll move on quick, but there weren't just five-team questionable teams. There was like 12 teams, all had various flaws one way or the other. Aztecs overall RPI is pretty good, but non-conference was terrible. They didn't beat that many good teams. And so I get the conference is down. It doesn't help your cause because the conference champion has made at-large bid every single year, I think, or made the tournament every year except for one. And then there's the stupid Colorado State thing, like it was a 28 RPI last year. Air Force, like a decade ago when they were high RPI, but they lost in that first round when they're the one seed. Stuff like that happens, but I think part of the article is right, the Union Tribune. You can't play these NAIA or Division II schools at all. You have to play somebody decent. So, and you got to win. So they didn't win, but they're playing IPFW. That's Indiana Purdue Fort Wayne University, I believe. Home game Tuesday. Well, you called it?
Yeah, IPFW.
Oh, IPFW, okay. Yeah, and 8 p.m. Mountain, 7 local time. I guess it's, I don't know why it's only an ESPN3, which kind of sucks. But I guess they'd rather have New Mexico State and St. Mary's on at that time. I don't know whatever they're counting, because they're airing Long Beach State, Washington, that tips off at about the same time. Alabama, Creighton, Florida, North Florida. I don't know why it's not being aired. But it's on streaming, so check that out. But they're 11.5-point favorites. Unless there's a – because we've seen like Utah State years ago when they were ranked, got left out. Teams that expect to be in the tournaments and lose that title game, there's sometimes a letdown. Not saying there will be, but there's potential for that just because you thought you're the number one seed, you're supposed to go to the tournament, and you don't. So do you think there could be some sort of letdown against the Mastodons?
There better not be. I'm going to say this. There better not be. You know, if you want to prove that you are a team worthy of going to the tournament and you were robbed, you need to crush IPFW just without mercy.
Yeah. I don't know if they will, because they won. Here's a little bit on them. They won the Summit League 24-9. They were one of the many one seeds that did not win the tournament. There was overabundant that did not get in to the NCAA tournament as a one seed. They lost their conference tournament. This game could be interesting.
Teams.
Was it 10?
Teams. 10 number one seeds won their conference tournament.
Out of what are there, 29 conferences or something? So, yeah, it was a weird year for that. And then that was just odd. But here's the thing about the Mastodons. Doing some research, they could score, and they score 80 points a game. Five guys score more than 10 points per game. They rebound pretty well at 36 per game. They turn the ball over a lot, so that could be Aztec's advantage. They're not very good. Their defense isn't that great. Their offense is very good. They shoot 41 from 3-point range.
They haven't. But look,
I know the Summit League. That's to get to. They haven't played great competition.
Boise State, who lives and dies by the three, died by the three versus San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, should be able to just take this out.
Yeah, I'm looking at their best wins. Like, I don't. They lost to Navy by 18 points. Is Navy any good at basketball?
Yeah.
They were this year?
No, they're okay at basketball.
They lost to Utah. We talked about the Utes. They lost to Utah 96-79. Lost to Indiana 90-65. Is Western Michigan their best win 89-86 in overtime maybe? They haven't played anybody, and outside of like their two best teams, they got crushed. They lost to Valpo, who's a one seed in the NIT, 78-64. This should be a game where San Diego State should just crush them. But the only thing I'm concerned, there could be somewhat of a letdown. But that they should win, right? There should be no contest in this game.
Shouldn't be.
The only thing I can see, like just the way their offense works, they'll push the ball, move the tempo, maybe keep it interesting, but they got to just crush them. This game's Tuesday, like I said, Tuesday night, 7 Pacific. Check it out. They'll host the first two games. If they win, they should win. Other game really quick, Nevada basketball. I like this move of them going to the CBI because it's Eric Musselman. He gets different type of postseason. They get to play a game, an extra game with this team, especially Cameron Oliver. Man, he's going to be a player next couple of years. Whew.
Oh, yeah,
they Yeah, they take on Montana in the first round of CBI, and they are hosting as well. So it's a Wednesday night game. Our good guy Brandon Blake put an article, so check that out. And this is a team like Nevada. Like I said it early in the year, they're next year in 2 years they'll be in the Mountain West title game. I'm pretty sure in basketball.
Yeah,
is that too far fetched?
No, absolutely not.
And this is a pretty good matchup. Like we know Montana. They beat Boise State. They're 22-12 for another decent team in the Big Sky. 14-4 league play. They made it to the title game, losing to Weber State by three. So this team was 3 points away from going to the NCAA tournament. Now they're in the CBI. And interesting note, do you know...
This is a letdown for Montana.
You're right. Well, look what you said earlier. Only 10 number one seeds won their tournament, and number one in conference or regular season champs go to the NIT regardless. So they fall here.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if Montana lets down in the matter.
Do you know how many times these two teams have played? They've played quite a few.
Oh, I mean, a bunch, because Nevada used to be in the Big Sky years ago. Yeah, so the fact that Nevada used to be in the Big Sky, like I said, years ago, before they moved into the Big West for a year, before moving on to the WAC, and then after the WAC, Mountain West, I mean, they probably played Montana somewhere north of 100 times by now. Jeremy got cut out, so yeah, I don't know what's going on. But absolutely. While Jeremy comes back on, I think Montana's in for a letdown. I think that being said, Nevada should win. Yes. So I said they've probably played Montana north of 100 times, being the Big Sky and then Big West and then WAC and then West. So they've played a lot, but overall I think Nevada wins this game.
Yeah, I agree with you too. Nevada's gonna take care of that and go to move on. They'll be excellent if they do. They should beat this Montana team. All right, so here's what we're doing really quick for the show. We have our good friend Ian Nicole was down at Las Vegas. Like I said earlier, time constraints couldn't get her on. And so here's her little 10-minute spiel about her experience at tournament, talk about the semis and final game.
What's up, guys? Thanks so much for letting me join in with you one more time for a Mountain West tournament recap and some thoughts on what took place over the course of the few days that I got to be a part of what was happening in Las Vegas. Here's some initial thoughts on the teams that I saw, the players that I saw. There really was no game in the semifinals or in the finals. If you were watching, you already know this, that there was a runaway. Certainly the Colorado State and Fresno State game started to show some separation between the teams simply because Colorado State could not find their shot whatsoever, which ended up being the detriment for them. But otherwise, they have a great coach team. Larry Eustacey, as many of you guys know, is always a stellar leader for his team, bringing up young men that seem to play hard, play gritty, and even if their shot is missing, play to the very end. In the post-game press conference, and I think you can always tell a lot from listening to the press conferences of the losing team, the team that doesn't get the sweet smell of victory, doesn't have all the smiles at the podium while they're talking. Eustacey mentioned that this had actually been one of the funnest seasons that he's had in his 25 years of coaching, which is pretty incredible. For a man that has been coaching for as long as he has, seen so many different teams. And this team, despite their loss, despite not being able to go on to an NCAA tournament run, this is the team that he believed that he has had some of the most fun with. I think it's really telling of that team this year, and also looking ahead, what he might be looking forward to headed into the 2016-2017 season. The other losing team was Nevada, probably the biggest surprise for some coming out of the tournament and going into the semifinals. I personally, and you can replay the tape if you want to, I personally chose Nevada to go on and beat New Mexico and get into the semifinals. So maybe I was the only one who was not shocked about what took place. And Nevada, for at least a while, kept the game fairly close. But unfortunately, they just don't have the firepower, at least yet, to keep up with the San Diego States of the Mountain West. However, if there is a team next year that you have to look out for, it's absolutely the UNR Wolfpack. There's a lot of young guys on that team. Of course, you have a very talented young coach in Eric Musselman, probably one of the best prospect young coaches on the West Coast. He will have that team ready for next season. And I am predicting, and you can write it down now, that they are going to finish in the top three of the Mountain West next year. Now let's get to the finals. This was such an excellent, thrilling, exciting finals game. However many ways you want to put it, there was no letdown in this game. I think some doubters out there really thought, oh, Fresno State is about to get trampled over by the fast-paced, highly defensive San Diego State team. This San Diego State team, although they were last in the Mountain West in scoring offense, their defense characterized who the Aztecs were. First in scoring defense. First in field goal percentage defense. First in three-point field goal percentage defense. This was a defensive-minded team. Fresno State came in the same way, and it really wasn't until the latter part of the first half that the reigning Mountain West Player of the Year, Marvell Harris, started to take things over a little bit more. And although he didn't get help from his counterpart, Julian Lewis, towards the end of the game, I mean the very end of the game, which was the most opportune time, thanks to extra efforts by Karachi Ido, as long as Marvell Harris continued the momentum of the offense, this was a team that looked like they were actually going to beat the favorite Aztecs. Now, can you call this an upset? I called it an upset originally on my recap. I personally think that this was not a huge upset. I think that if a lower seed beats a higher seed, a much lower seed, that's an upset. Number two over number one, not really. But everyone I know believed that SDSU was going to win this game. SDSU really believed that they were going to win this game. In the post-game presser, Steve Fisher, obviously very disappointed. The players at the podium, distraught. Steve Fisher says, "We didn't lose, we got beat." He knew how hard of an effort Fresno State came with and continue to utilize their offensive and defensive strategies all the way up to the very end. Now, as we all know, at this point in time, Fresno State is the only team from the Mountain West going to the NCAA tournament. That is a little bit of a shock. I thought, even though they were on the borderline, that the Aztecs might be able to finagle their way in, but unfortunately, the NCAA tournament committee did not think so. And they are left on the outside looking in despite a very stellar season. What everyone recognizes, and what was recognized in that press room as Steve Fisher was being asked questions about the season that was, relates to how the Aztecs end up in this situation. Unfortunately, as great as their conference season was, their non-conference season went very poorly. And not only did they not have a great win to speak of, they didn't really have a loss that was good. There are such things as good losses. In fact, they had bad losses. And when you have bad losses, that becomes a problem for the tournament committee. you can look through their schedule to understand what I'm talking about. And most of you probably already know exactly what I'm talking about. Even Steve Fisher at the podium, you could tell, started to think back on his conference, non-conference season, excuse me, and start to question, are these losses going to end up making us look from the outside in by Sunday evening when all of this comes out? And it did. So the question became to him, do you need the UNLVs, the New Mexicos, the quote unquote traditional powers of the Mountain West to do better throughout the season in order to give an SDSU in this situation, an SDSU a chance, despite some of these bad losses, a chance to get in the tournament no matter what? His answer was essentially yes. His answer was in reference to the conference schedules as a whole. What are all of the Mountain West Conference schools scheduling before they reach the regular conference season, the non-conference schedule? What are they scheduling in order to improve that strength of schedule, that RPI? The fact that Syracuse got in to this conference tournament is pretty laughable. And it makes me question, as someone who wrote about UNLV all season long, it makes me question as to whether if UNLV could have just gotten at least one win over San Diego State, or maybe a couple other road wins here and there, maybe just three more wins. Not even having to, well, let's say they had to reach the semifinals of the Mountain West tournament. Could they have gotten in? Because by far, UNLV had the toughest non-conference schedule. They beat Indiana. They beat Oregon. They had a good loss when they lost to UCLA. I take that back. UCLA ended up pretty poor. So scratch that. They had a good loss when they lost to Wichita State. How about that at Wichita State? But the point is that Steve Fisher is questioned at this press conference about how are these Mountain West teams scheduling their non-conference schedule? And even if for some reason you have a subpar non-conference schedule that you do really well in, which San Diego State did not, does that mean that when you get to your conference schedule and you do fairly well and you have a 20-plus win season because you won so many games in non-conference, does that mean you should expect that you're going to the NCAA tournament? And it can't be the case, at least right now in the Mountain West, because the Mountain West has gone downhill in terms of their notoriety on a national level. Right now on the West Coast, as you could tell when they announced the tournament bracket on Sunday, it's about the Pac-12. And the Pac-12, as we all know, has always had better notoriety than the Mountain West. But hey, we all remember it wasn't too long ago that the Mountain West had four or five teams in the tournament. And you have to get back to that by going to your non-conference schedule and challenging your players, your team, your school to take on some of these bigger games in hopes that at least a couple of them you're going to come away with and maybe put some good wins for strength of schedule on your schedule. This is what hurt San Diego State in the end. And it is a shame because what I saw at the game on Saturday afternoon was a team chock full of talent on the Aztecs. Malik Pope tearing it up. It was a block party for San Diego State all around. They've got high jumpers, long bodies, total strength, defensive minded. No doubt they should be also in the NCAA tournament. Fresno State, however, gets to represent the Mountain West. I think if Marvell Harris has a good complete game from start to finish, they certainly are going to give Utah a run for their money. But that is a hard draw for the first game that you have to contend with. What I want to finish off with is just kind of a thought as we move into the off season and head to next season. Some teams to look for, some players to think about. In terms of SDSU, I saw some very great, talented young players. Malik Pope, if he decides to stay, he's already Mountain West Player of the Year preseason. What I saw on Saturday night was incredible. But we have to remember that the SDSU team, 75% of that team are juniors or lower. There was three seniors on that team, which means they have a young squad that's coming back, more experience, more leadership, coming back to contend for yet another Mountain West tournament championship, also a regular season championship. Again, SDSU may be favored once again headed into next season. I think Colorado State may be favored heavily into next season. I've already mentioned Nevada. We just received the news within the last 24 hours that Cullen Neal, curiously, is headed out of New Mexico. That's a very interesting development. Is New Mexico going to be able to come on the rise? For them, this has been a very poor season. And then for me, as you might imagine, I will end with what I believed was the most dramatic storyline of the Mountain West Conference season, which was, of course, UNLV. I've covered them from start to finish, from back in July all the way up until today when I wrote my last piece that I titled, Where Does UNLV Go From Here? And I think that's just the perfect question, because UNLV has a lot of things that they have to address. They've got a lot of problems that may stem from the ambiguity in the program right now, and they have to fix those fast. Players are waiting to know who their coach is going to be. Players are making the decision whether they're going to go off to the NBA or they're going to stay and bring the needed leadership, the experience that UNLV needs to sustain a want-to-be championship program. UNLV fans are desperate to see what's going to happen. Now, even if for some reason they lose Steven Zimmerman to the draft, the Rebels have a talented team and they have some talented guys coming in. So, yes, they also, depending on the puzzle pieces that fit together, will be a team to reckon with next season. Let's just hope that team has not the kind of precarious situations take place as they did this season, because that truly allowed them to go in the wrong direction. And this is where we end up for next year. Thank you guys so much for letting me come on. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of the Mountain West Conference Tournament and provide all the live action to you and recap it for you. And here's to a great Mountain West season, or let's at least hope next year is.
All right, that was excellent stuff there. So let's wrap this up, Chris. We got Fresno State. Oh, we'll start Tuesday. It's Tuesday, San Diego State, IPFW. Is that right? Is that who it is?
Indiana, Purdue, Fort Wayne.
That's right. That's a Tuesday night streaming, 7 Pacific right there in the good old Viejas. You got Nevada hosting Montana on Wednesday. Did we say what time that was?
We did not.
Do you know what time that is?
I'm going to guess somewhere like 6 o'clock.
Let's see if I can find it really quick. Oh, come on. Come on. It's Wednesday, not Thursday. We'll find it. They play Wednesday night. 7 p.m. There it is. 7 p.m. Pacific time. There it is. 7 p.m. So check out the Nevada Wolfpack Radio Network to listen to that game. It might be streamed somewhere. No clear word on that yet, so I'm guessing just radio only. And then we got the yeah, that's it. 3-game. Boise State said no to the tournament, which you said is the right call, because why are you going to pay to host a CBI or something, right?
Well, I think they would have been invited to Vegas. Leon Rice probably figured they didn't deserve a tournament.
Yeah, and the Vegas 16. Good luck. Good job with that, Brandy. It's now really the Vegas 8. 8 teams decided to go to the tournament.
For the city.
It's good. Yeah, it's just kind of like Vegas 16. Great. That's a good tournament, Vegas 8. So the MAC, have fun with the MAC tournament there in Vegas. So that's our show for tonight. We've got our conference recap tournament and save preview a little bit. All the postseason stuff. We'll have plenty of NCAA tournament stuff on Fresno. Hopefully they get a win to move on. And yeah, check us out, mwcconnection.com. And we'll be back with a recapping these games over the weekend. And hope your basketball team does well. We'll see you guys next time.